Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, it was a lousy week for flight attendants involving guns, a theft, and fighting in flight. We have the updates.
It's crush season in the wine country, and Steve LaRose is here at 2:15 with ideas on how you can join in the fun in Amador County.
At 2:35, we take you trip trotting. I know we've promised this before, but today you really will learn how to connect with locals when you're traveling. A fascinating interview at the bottom of the hour.
The cultural and arts season traditionally begins in the fall in Sacramento. Kickoff event is just around the corner. At 2:50, find out how you can get tickets to Prelude to the Season.
It's a busy day, and we have lots of information to share to make you a smarter traveler. Today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations right across the way. Here it is, the last radio program of September as we head into the serious fall months.
Yeah, here. The fall months. The equinox is gone. The days are getting shorter. People will soon be huddling around the fireplace, dreaming of warm weather adventures when the calendar turns again on the other side of the year. Although, Tom, you know, some people love to travel in the off season. I have people who like to go storm watching on the coast, or Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip to Yellowstone National Park in the middle of the winter. We do every 5 or 6 years. We're doing it this year. There are already 30 people signed up. So that to ride in a snow coach and play in the snow and see the animals in temperatures that most people wouldn't enjoy.
Now, you guys do fall foliage anywhere?
We do. Clayton, our road reporter Clayton, has taken off this weekend, taking a group of folks back to Vermont and New Hampshire to be leaf peepers, so to speak. Looks like they've hit it just about on the money this year. Yeah. So New England is a beautiful place. People on the West Coast think there's only one time to go to New England, and that's the fall.
Right.
You can't sell New England in the springtime to people. They want to go. And then when they get there, they expect the weather to be perfect. Because they think, you know, they just came from warm weather. And just because it's fall, it's nice in Sacramento in the fall. And what they don't understand is that the whole photosynthesis thing doesn't really work unless the temperatures cool down. And when folks from the West Coast get back to the East Coast and it's 50 degrees and a little blustery and the leaves are pretty, they're kind of like lamenting the fact that the weather isn't 20 degrees warmer.
Yes, but because you guys do it, you make sure that your travelers are prepared and you tell them what to bring.
What to bring, yeah. And how to pack. And the other reality is that if you're only traveling someplace because the weather is going to be good, then don't go, because it's like I tell folks who go to Alaska every year. You know, you're going to go up there and the chances are the weather may be kind of sucky for 5, 6, 7 days if you're along the coast in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Tends to be low clouds and fog and stuff like that. So have a good time anyway. When you're traveling, you have to throw the weather out the window and go and have a good time no matter what. I always tell folks, if it's pouring rain and the bus driver stops and says, who wants to get off and take a picture of the moose over there in the field? Be the person who gets off the bus and takes the picture of the moose, because it'll be a great story someday.
There you go. Outstanding. Again, we are the Travel Guys, and we begin our program after a little bit of fun banter. We get into the travel news. And Mark, I kind of looked ahead here. It's not going to go well for those.
It's not a good day for flight attendants.
Flight attendants, yeah. Okay. Brandon, fire up the travel music. Mark Hoffman Trio is in the background, and Mark Hoffman now with our travel news. Mark?
Well, American Airlines has been having some issues over the last month. Their pilots have been doing kind of an unannounced sick out. What they're doing is the pilots are going through and finding maintenance issues just before departure time that have to be attended to. This is slowing down the whole system for a while. A couple weeks ago, American Airlines flights, only 30-40% of them were on time. However, unlike their partner in flying crime, United Airlines, American came out and issued a serious apology to their frequent flyers, to all flyers, in fact, who have been inconvenienced by this, and said that they have cut some flights from their schedule for September and October in order to try to get things back on track. Of course, a labor issue like that, we experienced this, Tom, with United Airlines a number of summers ago when the United pilots did the same thing. It caused chaos for months. My recommendation to you is, until you get an all clear, if you don't need the elite miles on American for some reason, consider the possibility of flying with another carrier.
There you go.
All right. In the flight attendant news for today, story number one, a flight attendant's gun went off at airport security in Philadelphia. It seems that a Republic Airlines flight attendant who was flying on a United Express flight showed up at Philadelphia International Airport with a loaded gun in her bag that accidentally discharged. A police officer was called to check out the gun when she was going through security. That's when it accidentally discharged. The flight attendant told the police she forgot the gun was in her bag. Apparently, she had a legal permit. And I said that was United Express. Actually, this Republic flight was U.S. Airways.
By the way, are you saying that if you're a flight attendant, you might be permitted to carry a gun?
And they said she had a permit. The plane was headed to Dallas, Texas. They brought another. The woman received a citation for disorderly conduct, was taken into custody and then released. Another flight attendant was brought in. And you know, Tom, I don't know the answer to that question. Pilots are allowed under certain situations to bring a gun on the airplane. A flight attendant would not be allowed to bring a flight because of the pilot has to keep it in a lockbox in the cockpit. So, no, a flight attendant would not be allowed to bring a gun on the plane. So that would not have been a good thing. Flight attendant story number two.
All right. Number two.
Apparently, an iPad was left on an airplane, and a guy used the Find the iPad thing to find out where the iPad was.
Sure,
they found
it
in the home of a flight attendant in Oregon City, just outside of Oregon. Police arrested a 43-year-old flight attendant on Friday evening. She works for Horizon Air. She told officers that a passenger brought her the tablet, saying it was found on a seat. She said she had never used the iPad and planned on returning it to airline officials.
However, she just took it home for safety purposes, to keep an eye on it for them.
Yes. However, unfortunately, it appears as though her boyfriend's birthday was already listed on the calendar on the iPad. That kind of shoots down the I was going to return it in the morning. Arrangements have been made to return the tablet to its owner in Reno. The flight attendant did not respond for comment. Imagine that. Flight attendant story number three.
Number three.
A United Airlines flight on Wednesday, it's a Chicago-bound United Airlines flight, had to be sent back to Raleigh-Durham because two flight attendants were duking it out on the airplane.
Oh, a little bit of a flight attendant squabble, hey?
Yeah, turns out two flight attendants got into a disagreement on the way to Chicago, so the plane ended up returning to the airport. It was a fairly light load on a 737, only 52 passengers. I haven't flown on that plane for a number of years. There's an explanation. Apparently, it was just a minor disagreement between the two flight attendants. It got into a verbal altercation on board, and I've read this entire story twice and found it on two places, and Thomas, it doesn't tell us whether they were male or female.
I was wondering that, whether it was a girl fight or what.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
The captain must have thought it was pretty serious because he turned the plane around and went back to Raleigh-Durham.
Do you have another?
No, I do not. Okay. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that's your travel news, but I do. Do I have time for a list here real quick?
You know, it's been a while since we've done a list, and we have a couple of minutes. So
okay.
let's go for it.
Five things travelers should avoid saying. Here's your Be a Smarter Traveler segment. Here's five things you should never say when you're on the road in public, generally to people.
Okay, number one.
Do you have change for a 20? You don't want that spoken to your bellman, your tour guide, your airport shuttle driver, or any other person not stationed behind a cash register. You want to get small. It's just a tacky way to do things. You need to get small bills, and don't ever ask those folks for change. Go to the hotel counter and ask for it.
Okay.
All right. Can you help me? I'm lost, and I'm staying at name of the hotel, the Hilton or whatever.
Don't want to give away where
you're
staying.
Don't tell people where you're staying when you're in a foreign land. You're telling them, I don't have any idea where I am, and this is where I'm staying. You're giving people a great opportunity to send you in the wrong direction, either because just for fun or perhaps with malice intended. Here's another one of the five things that travelers should avoid saying. I don't want to go there. There aren't any reviews.
Now, who would you avoid saying this to?
You would avoid saying this to an intelligent person that you're traveling with, like maybe me.
Okay.
because there are no reviews doesn't mean that it's not a good place. And consequently, just because the reviews are bad doesn't necessarily – people may have picked up on one thing that has been fixed, one employee who's long gone,
right,
et cetera. So just because the reviews are not good or there aren't any isn't a reason to write it off. Here's another one. Geez, it's not like I have a bomb. You're going through security or something, and they give you a little bit of a hassle. That's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, you seem to have a strange-looking something in your luggage there. And then you say, geez.
Yeah, it's not like I have a bomb. And finally, the five things that you shouldn't say when you're traveling. Do you speak English? It's generally considered in foreign countries, this especially works in Mexico, learn how to say, do you speak English in the language of the country that you're there, and ask the people in their own native tongue. They will appreciate the fact that you made the effort, and your chances of finding out what you need and making a friend will increase dramatically. So that's the fastest list I've ever given.
There you go. Things that you shouldn't say, and I'm guessing you can find that on TravelGuysRadio.com.
You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and find all of that stuff.
All right. Steve LaRosa coming up. We're going to head up to the Amador Wine Country. It's crush time, and get some info from him on some fun places to stay and some things to do. All that coming up next on The Travel Guys.
Welcome back. We are The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. You know, Tom, the one thing that folks most often request via our mailbag or just on the air that folks warm to the most are whenever we tell them about things they can do close to home that don't cost a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
Fun things.
Absolutely.
And recently we have added a reporter to The Travel Guys staff who is an old friend of yours, someone that you've known for a few years in the radio business. And why don't you introduce our next guest?
All right. We've had him on once before, and we're talking about Steve LaRosa. Steve and I have had a relationship that goes back all the way to the 70s when we worked at Channel 3, at that time KCRA. When I first met Steve, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, you were working at the front desk.
That's right. And Tom was working the night shift, and when it was slow on the front desk, I'd run down to the studio and
help me pick out tunes.
Yeah. And fun would ensue.
And then they let Romano on during the day parts.
And so you'll know at the time that you were coming down and helping me pick out some tunes and work on the front desk and so forth, Mark was a young boy traveling back and forth to school in the back seat of his mom and dad's car, I think, about that time, and used to listen to that little silly radio show.
That program that Romano did in the afternoon, used to listen to his top five. I think it was about 3:30 in the afternoon every day. It's scary to remember these things.
You know, and then subsequently, Steve had an interest in a television career, obviously, since he was working there. Went on to become the executive producer for the weeknight television show.
Yep.
And then he and I worked together on weeknight for a number of years, so folks will remember that TV show. Steve took a big risk by asking me to write the weeknight theme, which we did, and there was another piece called It's a Beautiful Weekend. And where we featured local getaways on the weeknight show. So here we are going full circle. We've got Steve on the Travel Guys.
So Steve has done Steve knows local stuff, I guess, is the point that we're making here, about as well as anybody, because he's been doing it since, well, we won't go into that, but for a while. So Steve, you've been up wandering around in the wine country. It's they're bringing in the grapes. It's the busy season up there.
Right. Went up to
up there, down there, Amador. Where did you go? We had Amador and Napa here close by.
Went up to Amador County, and I want to chat today about an Amador County weekend getaway. Of course, this coming weekend is the Big Crush. It's the Amador Vintners Big Harvest Wine Festival. And a little bit of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who named the Big Crush about 10 years ago when I was working for the vintners.
Not to brag or anything. But
no, just a little bit of trivia.
Big Crush.
By the way, that's this coming weekend, October 6th and 7th, and it's a fun deal. You can go
up
there.
What is the Big Crush, Steve?
Well, it's a great thing where you can visit the 36 wineries up there. They have live music. You can watch the picking, the crushing, the pressing, the fermenting. Taste the wine. They do some great food pairings with the wine.
And so do you actually do any grape stomping?
I have this vision of Lucy and the old Lucy thing with the grapes.
Funniest Lucy ever.
Yes. So is that actually going on? I mean, are they actually taking off their shoes and stomping grapes?
I know they've done it in the past. I don't know if they're doing it this year.
Yeah. Instead of just stomping on grapes, a lot of people prefer to just try the finished product.
And, which we did. I visited a couple of the wineries up there, a couple of boutique little wineries. The first one we stopped at was Dillion in the Shenandoah Valley there in Plymouth. It's a quaint little boutique winery. The tasting room is modeled after the old family house. And they feature about a half dozen reds. And I think my favorite was the Primitivo.
Now, you also stopped in Plymouth?
Did. Went to the Borjon Winery, and it's the only Mexican-American-owned winery in Amador. And the tasting room and the grounds look like an old Spanish hacienda. Izzy Borjon, he's 26. He could be the youngest vintner in the country. And it's a fun place, great atmosphere. They do music on the patio. And then his mom makes these great salsas, and April through September, they have wine and salsa every other Saturday.
Awesome. Yeah. So these folks are part Dillion and Borjon, am I saying?
Borjon.
Borjon, okay, because it's Hispanic. These folks are going to be part of the Big Crush?
They are.
So is this a ticketed event, or do you just go up and wander around the wineries?
It is ticketed. It's $35 for just Saturday, but that includes admission to Sunday. And then if you just want to go Sunday, it's $25. And if you're a designated driver, only $10, and you get to eat the food.
Now, for your ticket, you get to go from winery to winery and participate in the tasting of the wines and all that goes along with it, and the pairing of the foods, too, I'm sure.
Exactly. And they're all fairly close by. Like I say, 36 wineries. And the other one we went to was Drytown Cellars. Now, this place kind of cracks me up. It's a great old spot. It's owned by Alan and Susan Kreitzer. Alan's pretty laid back. You know, you think Alan might have been a roadie with the Grateful Dead. He has actually a former musician himself. He'll have live music there for the Big Crush, and he'll play there, I guess, with his band. And it's very quaint, very charming. Again, like his place, you can see everything being done. You go up there, and they got the chalkboard out front, and the day I went there, it said, "Crushing Merlot, come on back."
You gotta like that. Steve, in addition to the wineries up there, you mentioned before we went on the air that you stopped into a restaurant, and I wanted to ask you about that. Susan's Place?
Yeah,
Susan's Sutter Creek?
Exactly. Susan's Place Wine Bar and Eatery. And they specialize in Mediterranean fare. They have an extensive wine list, as you can imagine. Charming atmosphere. And there's courtyard dining. And they have it's an interesting little concept. You design your own dinner entree. You can choose meat, fish, or veggie entree. And then you choose one of a handful of sauces. And then you pick a carb, a rice, a couscous blend, or polenta. And very good. I had the tilapia. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Really
good. What an interesting concept. You also paid a visit to the National Hotel. Now, there's more than one National Hotel in the foothills, so you have to tell people what town you're talking about, because there's one in Jamestown, and there's one in Jackson, which is a really historic building, a really neat place to pop into.
It is. It was built in 1852, and it's apparently the longest continuously running hotel in California. And they plunked down about $3 or $4 million to remodel this place. There's 36 rooms. They're all different. Much of the furniture is original. And they just opened their bar and restaurant. It's called Stanley's Steakhouse, named after Stanley Lukowitz, the guy who basically plunked down all that money to remodel the hotel.
Stanley was a friend of mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A name I know. Absolutely, yes. What a character. That would be a whole other program.
I did tour the place. I toured all the rooms. It's Victorian-era appointments with modern conveniences. And, like, you get your Wi-Fi, your flat screen, your heated floors, and a ghost. You can actually—
Pardon me?
You request the ghost?
You can request the ghost.
Lost his mind, Tom.
There is a ghost in the room they were going to put me in. Unfortunately, I was not able to stay, but there is a ghost.
There is a ghost.
Yeah.
And how can you request the ghost? Can
he wasn't
can I
able to stay.
Can I request the room with the ghost?
You absolutely can.
So you'll know I know a little something about Steve's past. Uh-huh. Now, he's not into ghosts, and that's why he didn't stay.
That's why he didn't stay. Yeah. All right, so this whole Amador, the big crush, you can go to amadorwine.com. And find out about it.
Yes.
Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have a link there. Steve was talking about all the different wineries that you can visit up there. You can partake in the wine and the food and the festivities. This is next weekend, the 6th and the 7th, up in Amador County. $35 for Saturday, $25 if you do Sunday only, and $10 if you're just the designated driver, which unfortunately means that you won't be sampling any of the vino along the way. Steve, some incredibly wonderful ideas.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time to go check out that particular part of the country, the local getaway. You know, a lot of people want to travel to Napa to do their wine tasting because, oh, let's go to Napa. I had some family that came to town that were from Texas, and that's where they had to go. We have to go to Napa. And I go, well, you know, Amador is just a block away.
Yep.
And here's the other difference. You go to Napa, you pay for every glass of wine that you drink, every taste. Okay, all the tasting is there's a charge to it, except for this special event, and then there's a reason why there is a small charge. But you can go wine tasting up in the Amador wine country.
It's a whole different atmosphere. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different place. The Napa Valley is a little more than Amador has.
You go up here, you're going to meet the wine owner just about every time you go to visit one of these wineries, and you're going to learn all about his wines, and it's more friendly, it's more casual.
And that's the huge difference, is really and truly, they are two different experiences, and that's not to put down the Napa Valley. They have the wine train and a lot of wonderful things to do there. But Amador is just a different, as Steve said, you're going to go up and you're going to meet the people. Steve, thank you for some wonderful ideas. We will have you back in a few weeks to share some more things. Maybe we'll dig up some holiday ideas for folks to check
okay.
out.
Okay.
All right, coming up, we're going to do some trip trotting.
We are. We're going to introduce you to the folks who will introduce you to folks.
And then right after that, we're going to be talking with Michelle. It's time for Prelude to the Season with the Arts and Business Council. All that and more coming up. We're the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. More to come. Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And one of the things I like to do, Mark, whenever I go on a trip is meet new people. You know, they may be also traveling with you, and of course, those people that are providing service to you, and that's part of travel.
Well, absolutely, people love to try new foods and go new places, but most of what people tell me why they travel is because they want to meet the people who live in the places that they're going. So they want to learn how they live, what they do for a living, what they do with their leisure time, all, you know, what are their challenges and their heartbreaks and all of those kinds of things. And I think we have found a guest here today who can help us. Shauna is joining us from triptrotting.com. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Tell me, first of all, I have to know, how and did you come up with this clever name?
Trip Trotting, you know, it was just my co-founder, Igram, and I sat down one day on the floor and said, what do you think about when you think about travel? And, you know, obviously lots of different words came about, and we found the words trip and trotting, like globetrotting and travel and trips, to be kind of it really conveyed what we wanted to say. So that's how the word trip trotting came about.
Very good. And you know what, Shauna, you just taught me something. Mark, I've been sitting in a chair trying to think of these ideas, and Shauna and her friend sat down on the floor, and then next thing you know, it's trip trotting.
Any great intellectual genius, modern genius, now sits on the floor. You don't watch Mark Zuckerberg and all of his. So Shauna, you've created this community. This is, if I dare I say, it's along the lines of Facebook and some other things like that, where people can communicate with each other. But this has a specific purpose in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So the purpose of trip trotting is so that you can connect with locals wherever you go. Because when I look back on my, you know, most memorable experiences when I travel, it always included the people I met and the experiences I've had. And, you know, very rarely do you actually get those opportunities. So when you go abroad, now you have a chance to actually connect with people directly, whether it's through one-on-one meetups. Hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. I'd love to learn more about your city. And lots of people abroad are really interested in meeting foreigners as well, because traveling doesn't happen every day. So this is a great opportunity to do that. And you can also join different activities that are happening where locals are excited to show you around, or locals are helping you kind of get acclimated to the area. And you can join these activities as well.
Now, Shauna, some of these activities are – some of them there is a charge for, and some of them are free. How does it work? Does Trip Trotting set up these activities? Are they set up by the people in the individual communities? How does that work?
So it's a combination of both. So we actually have locals in key cities who are curating activities that they think would really represent their city. So I'm in Los Angeles currently, so that if, you know, you're visiting Los Angeles, I'm your friend, there's a specific type number of activities that I would love to show you, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily take you on a double-decker tour bus experience. So the idea is that the locals are curating these activities, whether they're paid or they're free. They really like to, those are the activities that they believe really showcase their city from a local's perspective.
Now, this is done through your website, right, Shauna?
Correct.
Walk me through this. Okay, I'm on your website and I want to do some trip trotting and meet some people. Kind of walk me through how I would do this.
Sure. So membership is 100% free, and there's various steps within the system where you can get verified so that you can actually message people directly. So if you know where you're already going, you can go to either our community or activities page where you can search by location.
Okay, so first I sign up, and then I find where I'm going to go.
Correct. And then you can search by location, people you're interested in meeting, people who are available to meet up, and as well as activities that are happening in that city.
Okay. And then you guys reach back to me by way of email and let me know what you found.
So actually, it's a pretty crowdsourced type of experience where if you're connecting with people directly, they'll receive the message that, hey, you're going to the city, and they will actually respond back to you directly.
Cool.
And you can actually even, if you know where you're going, there's a plan a trip function on there where it will actually notify all the locals in the specific city that you're going to, that you will be going to their city and what you're interested in meeting up with and things like that.
Now, Tom, for example, I've entered Sacramento into it, and it says there currently are no activities scheduled in Sacramento. If you enter San Francisco, there are three paid activities that you could have a chance to participate in. So there's a wide variety of things and pretty much all cost ranges. Shauna, tell me what are some of the – give me an example of something really interesting, a really interesting activity that you helped put together or you heard about that happened through Trip Trotting online.
Sure, absolutely. Last week we had a white party that was hosted by locals in Madrid. We also did the Tomatina, the tomato throwing festival. I think right now in Germany there's the Oktoberfest festivities about to happen.
Back up here. What did you say? Tomato throwing festival?
The tomato throwing festival in Spain that happened, I think, about 2 weeks ago.
Boy, Spain has all the fun stuff. Run from the bulls, yeah. Throw the tomatoes.
Yeah, well,
we've got a lot of cool activities that are happening in Europe. And the activeness of, you know, how active a place is really depends on the locals themselves. There's a lot of local groups of trip trotters out there who are hosting these activities, and they're really bringing their city to life.
Shauna, tell us, are these mostly young people? Are they people of all ages? Who is participating in trip trotting?
You know, the community is open to people of all ages, and we have people, you know, from between 18 to, you know, 60. But the really active ones right now and the initial adopters of this are people who are between the age of, between the age of 20 and 35.
So people who are active travelers, but nonetheless, as long as you can get around a little bit, there's probably something for you on this site. Now, what do you tell, Shauna, what do you tell people? The flip side of this is we had someone on a couple weeks ago was talking about women traveling alone and things like that and said, gee, look, you know, if you're on a train and somebody says, hey, why don't you come after my train car and have some wine and some cheese and stuff, that you have to have a little bit of caution there. You have to be a little bit concerned about what your surroundings are and who these people that you don't know. Tell me, if I'm going to say, what's the security side? What's the downside of trip trotting? How do you mitigate that factor?
So what we do right now on the site is that there's a verification process. You can actually sign up as a member for free, but you have to go through a process to get verified to actually be able to directly contact people. We have to verify that, one, you're a real person, that a lot of times we verify if you've been to university or your workplace. Different types of items like that, so that we can verify you as a person who has gone through some sort of background check. Well, there's also crowdsourced types of reviews that are happening on the site, so that if one person has met another person, they can write a review and referral for that person as well. So it kind of makes the community a little bit safer so that you know who you're talking to.
So it has that TripAdvisor sort of feel to it, in that once folks have found a place that's a cool place to hang out and start sharing with others, why then people will be way less hesitant to try to do that themselves. Shauna, it sounds like something really, really cool. I confess that I can't wait to try it out myself. Next time I'm going to be in a city and have some time and a little bit of myself, I'd like to try this out and report and have you back on the show, and we'll report back to you on how it went.
That would be great. That would be great. And we'd love to have more folks in Sacramento as well.
All right. Well, let's remind folks that this is triptrotting.com. There are two T's in trotting. Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will have a link to her site there. Shauna, thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll come back again and talk to us a little bit about trip trotting.
Definitely. Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Shauna. Always here to help make folks smarter travelers and, find some way to provide some extra entertainment along the way. Right here on the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Coming up in less than 4 minutes, your opportunity to get tickets for the prelude to the season, the kickoff of Sacramento's cultural arts season, right here on the Travel Guys.
Welcome. This is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. You know, for the last couple of years, Mark, we've had the opportunity to talk about something that happens about this time of the year, and that's the involvement with a combination of things, you in the business world and the arts in Sacramento, and it's that time again. Tell me about Sports Leisure Vacations' involvement with the Arts and Business Council.
Well, and specifically with this event is called Prelude to the Season, and as you alluded to, it happens every year about this time, and it is a formal and informal kickoff to the cultural arts season, specifically to the theater seasons. Most theater groups begin their seasons in the fall, along with concert groups and things of that type. So it's an appropriate time for the arts community to come together and celebrate the beginning of the new season, the prelude. And that's what this event is the prelude to the beginning of the season.
How did you and Sports Leisure Vacations, decide and get involved in this? And as a small business owner, would you encourage others to do this?
Well, how interesting. KFBK's own Karen Onstadt got me involved in the Arts and Business Council, actually nominated our company for an award 1 year, and we won. And that was Karen's way, I think, of letting me know that there was an opportunity to get involved in this group, and we did. And it has been a good experience for us. We serve as a premier sponsor for this prelude to the season each year, and it's something that is an opportunity for us to give back to the arts community, because in many cases the trips and things that we sponsor take people out of town to see cultural arts exhibitions and theatrical performances and the like. So this is a way for us to give something back to this community. And I think it's really an outstanding event. And it's so outstanding that it is a pleasure to have in studio with us today Michelle Alexander. Michelle is the executive director. Is that right, Michelle? I get your title right. Of the Arts and Business Council. And I have worked with Michelle for the last couple of years as she has served as the staff person who heads up this event each year, puts it all together and pulls it off. And each year it gets a little bit better and better. And this year's event is just about upon us. Michelle, prelude to the season. It's your big day to shine. It's Friday, October the 12th. Tell us a little bit about the Arts and Business Council and prelude to the season. We have a couple minutes. We don't always have that luxury on radio, but we do now.
Thanks, Mark. Well, we're about T-minus 2 weeks to Friday, October 12th. Prelude to the Season celebrating its 25th year. It's an awards luncheon at the Woodlake Hotel that draws about 350 to 400 leaders from creative arts, business, education, and government. And we give out 10 awards that honor the people who are working to improve the presence of arts and culture here in the Capital Region. We do that because our community's are improved, our economy is thriving when the arts are doing well. Our nonprofit serves arts organizations and artists. We've just recently launched an incubator to help arts groups with their business skills.
Now, these awards that you're giving away, mm-hmm. these are not all given just to artists, but they're giving to people who support the artists also.
Yes, absolutely. Well, part of our primary mission is to help business leaders connect to the creative community. And so some of the awards that we're giving out are recognizing those partnerships. So, for example, the Arts and Business Partnership Award, we're looking at Crest Theater, who partners with several cultural festivals, Soul Collective, who partners with Unseen Heroes to produce a Latino cultural festival, the Mondavi Center for the Arts, Western Health Advantage, and Wells Fargo all get together and are co-conspirators to produce some of the Mondavi programming. So we really look to shine a light on the businesses that are supporting arts and culture, as well as the artists and arts organizations that are doing really well in their management practices.
And the great thing is that, Tom, the businesses they recognize, mm-hmm. much like my own, are not necessarily the, while you heard her say, you know, Wells Fargo and there's some other really big people, but one of the great things about the Arts and Business Council is they bring to light people who maybe are doing things for the arts and maybe have never exactly been recognized for it. And that's really a nice thing, I think.
I agree. And in one of the, if one of the examples is our friend Skip over at Skip's Music a few years was mm-hmm. there. And you know, here you go, like yourself, local. Created a business from the ground floor up several years ago, and you have a connection with the arts by where you take your people, and of course Skip has it by selling instruments to the musical artists.
Absolutely, and anybody who has an interest in giving back to the community. In fact, if you know you're out there driving around right now and you're listening to this interview with Michelle Alexander from the Arts and Business Council talking about Prelude to the Season, and you have an interest in being one of those people who gives back a little bit, you can attend this luncheon. This isn't just for people from the arts community. It is open to the general public, right, Michelle?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, tickets and information are available online at sacabc.org, and all the good details are there. We're really appreciative for folks like Mark and as well as Gil from Commerce Printing, who understand that the arts are a little misunderstood. It's not just a painting on a wall or an expensive opera, but a lot of the organizations that are nominated for these awards have incredible stories. So all those stories are also online, but these groups are providing activities for foster youth, dance and theater workshops for disabled students, cultural festivals to celebrate heritage and tradition, and even art programs in prisons. So we're thrilled to have the opportunity every year, Prelude, to shine a little light on the work that these folks are doing. And thank you so much for giving us a moment to share the good word.
They're really great stories. If you go to this event, you will not only have a nice luncheon, but you'll get to see there is entertainment. It's kind of like an awards mm-hmm. program that you'd see on TV, in that Michelle has lined up a number. There's always a wide variety of folks there to entertain from the arts community. And so it really is a – if you go, it will open your eyes to who is a part of the community and what they do and how it's done. And you will walk out of there and you will go, wow, I never knew that we had so many diverse – you know, because the arts to some people means the theater, or to another mm-hmm. person it means mm-hmm. a painting. Or like you said, it's more than just a painting on a wall. But to some people, that's all it is. So this kind of gives – I think people who when I first came to this, it really opened up my eyes. And I said, wow, this is really a vibrant – community in Sacramento, ever growing, you know, Big News Theater up in Folsom, and we're always adding to the mix, and everybody's desperately trying to get every last dollar, because dollars are still tight in the arts community.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you would know, since you're selling tickets. We should tell folks the tickets are $65.
Yes.
For the luncheon. You can, if you're a business owner and you would like to come and bring your staff mm-hmm. or just support the arts community. There are half tables and tables available.
Yes, it's fabulous networking.
You will see the who's who in both the business and the arts.
The mayor will come
arts.
Again?
Yes, the mayor's giving Mr. Mayor Johnson will be giving a welcome
who
speech.
Is a big supporter of, not just of sports in town, but of the arts? Sometimes that gets overlooked. Mayor Johnson is a big supporter of the arts. It's going to be a wonderful event. Michelle, thank you for coming in and telling us a little bit about it. Again, the website for tickets is?
sacabc.org.
Okay. Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will have, if you're driving around and you can't remember the other, just remember Travel Guys Radio when you get home, and we'll have a direct link so that you can get tickets to Prelude to the Season on Friday, October the 12th at the Wood Lake Hotel. Michelle, thank you for being our guest on the Travel Guys.
Thanks, Mark. See you there.
Thanks again, Michelle, for being with us here with the Travel Guys. You remember a couple of years ago, they invited me to, well, Mark invited me to fill in because you were traveling and to give out an award. Anybody that was there realized that I wouldn't say I was the butt of the joke, but it did, you know, my presentation of the award, which I thought was only going to go to one person, it was actually going to like a dozen, was kind of weird because I read the name on the back of the plaque, and then there was these other 12 people that were wondering, well, what about us?
Uh-huh.
Well, and I didn't get it.
Can I just say that your award presentation time at Prelude is legendary and is is if you know, I mean, everybody enjoys a good joke. Speaking of good jokes and laughing and having fun, you made a radio station trip down to Disneyland, did you not?
We did. We went down this past week. We were there for a live broadcast from over by Cars Land, which was really cool because
I haven't been there yet. And you know, I'm a huge Route 66 fan, and Cars originally came from.
Well, what you need to do is if you go to classic931.com and go to Tom's blog, or if you look, you'll see the Disney logo there, or just keyword Disney. I have interviews with the guy that was responsible for putting the whole ride together, talking about what's there, and it's kind of interesting in that they made it a ride, basically from one of their films. Based on something that was real. And the whole time I was there, I kept thinking of you, and I kept thinking of our interviews we did with our folks from Route 66.
Yep.
And it was kind of like a combination of fantasy and reality coming together. It's pretty awesome.
There's really nothing like being in the wilds of Kansas, in Galena, Kansas, and coming upon Tow-Mater, the old tow truck, that literally dilapidated tow truck that was the inspiration for that character. And that, as listeners to this program know, that truck exists. The lady who is the character in the Corvette.
By the way, one of the reasons that we were there was to promote Halloween time at Disney. They redecorate the park. They take the Haunted Mansion and they turn it into the Nightmare Before Christmas. It was a great trip. If you love the Magic Kingdom, there's no better time than Halloween time and Christmas.
All right. Well, that about wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. We will be back next Sunday at 2 o'clock. We'll take you to the Oregon coast and tell you a little bit about one of my favorite hangouts, the area around Lincoln City and Newport. That's next Sunday on the Travel Guys. Remember, Mark and Tom.